Dr. Pam Peek, New York Times best-selling author and founder of the Peek Performance Center, and Michelle King Robeson, leading women's advocate, entrepreneur, and founder of EmpowHer.com, host the show everyone's talking about. It's time for Her Radio.
Michelle and I, you know, you and I have been reading the headlines, and then there's Philip Seymour Hoffman, who just an incredible Broadway actor as well as in movies, Academy Award winner. And here he is passing away because he was overdosed on heroin, and he'd also been on a multitude of pills. And this is after, you know, a very bad relapse. And he's been fighting this for years and years. He was only 46 years old. And this leads us to this whole issue of addiction, and especially looking at what is now what appears to be a national epidemic of heroin use, along with pills, which are sort of the gateway, you know, to heroin, which is so cheap. And I'm just taking a deep breath because, you know something? I know how close this hits home to you, Michelle.
It sure does. And, you know, every time I see a headline like that, and with someone like Philip, you just, you know, it just makes you cringe. And he was going to pick up what, his three or four kids. And just, you start to think about, you know, what happens in families and why people become addicted. What's the behavior behind it? Why are so many young people doing this today? I mean, it's just insanity at its finest. And I know, I have dealt with it in my own family. And so I actually asked permission from my daughter to be able to share with our audience today, you know, the women in our audience about, you know, my own situation with my one and only child who has a, you know, who is an addict. And she is clean and sober. She has been for 7 months. But it has been a real journey. It's been a real journey for me and a heartbreak for me, and it's been a heartbreak for her as well. She's coming out on the other side of it. And I asked her if I could share this, Pam, because I didn't want to just, you know, you just don't want to come out and say things, and especially with your kids who are dealing with issues like this, and, you know, you don't know if they want to share it or not. But what she said to me, which I thought was so great, and being 7 months sober now, she said, I want to share this. I want you to share this, Mom, because this will hopefully help other parents who are dealing with this, and maybe, you know, people who have addictions, that I am 7 months sober. So if I can help someone else, I'm all in. And I thought that was really selfless of her to do that. It's been a long road, a long journey. And we were talking last night about the fact that, you know, she has been in this facility and she has literally seen 4 people over the time period that she's been there who have all overdosed and died of heroin.
I mean, you know, this is a huge, huge point that you made. When you first told me that, I was, you know, once again, reminded of the fact that 1 out of 5 teenagers, all right, are stealing prescription pills. That's okay. Usually the gateway to heroin abuse, for instance. And they're taking things like OxyContin and Percocet and Vicodin and Adderall, Ritalin, Xanax,
right,
and just mixing them and playing with them. And this is really hitting young adults like your daughter, who then go on, if they have any addictive, you know, genetics and back and forth, to really push it out and become full-on addicted. I mean, this is very, very important point. And I think a lot of people out there think, well, that's someone else's problem. I'm sorry, not to break your heart. All right, 1 out of 5 teenagers qualifies as, that's not someone else's problem. That's everywhere. It's in our neighborhoods, right?
Right, and you have to be looking for it, right? As a parent, it's your responsibility to be looking for it. I think a lot of us live in denial. I know I did with Amanda for a long time, until finally one day I got in her purse and I found the pills, the Adderall. And, you know, Adderall is for ADD, right? Well, these kids have figured out how to get their hands on the prescription. They know exactly what to say to the psychiatrist who is treating them, and they get the drug. And so in a lot of cases, what we saw with Amanda and what, you know, what I learned and what Amanda learned through this is that she started with Adderall and then she was smoking pot. So it was that staying up for 3 days and then coming down, and the pot got you to come down and the Adderall got you to go up. So, you know, that was just the beginning. That was the starting of the cycle. And also she had been smoking pot, and pot is very dangerous. I mean, it's great for medicinal purposes. I'm not so crazy about it when you're just using it for recreational, because it's not like it used to be. It's completely different.
Well, I think that it's really important as a physician, especially as I listen to you, Michelle. I know the incredible pain you've had and angst with this because you love your daughter so much. And there are so many listeners out there who feel the same way about people they know, friends, family members, whomever, is to get the right support immediately. I'm senior science advisor to Elements Behavioral Health, probably one of the nation's largest addiction facilities and treatment centers. And I'm saying that you've got this kind of resource, you've got many resources where you have absolutely, hands down, got to hop on it and intervene as soon as possible. Because right. The earlier you can do this, the greater the success, especially if you have a supportive environment. But gosh, it is a rough road. Addiction is a rough road. So it's not just being inside the treatment center, it's also having intense outpatient as well. And I know Amanda's had that too, right?
Right, she has. And, you know, Amanda's, in her case, she's, you know, relapsed several times, and which is not uncommon, right? And it's, and you just feel, you know, you feel so hopeless as a parent. And I'm sure, you know, I know she's felt hopeless too, because, you know, nobody wants to be like this. You don't set out this way. We know that part of it is genetics. We know there are certain things, but I think that, you know, the shorter the time in the facility, and you know this, Pam, better than I do, but just from my own experience with Amanda, the shorter the time in the facility, the higher the risk that they aren't going to get better, or they'll relapse immediately, which is, you know, huge. But, you know, it goes back to, why are kids getting our medications? Number one, why are our parents, why do they have oxycodone and methadone and OxyContin in their, you know, in their drawers to begin with? That always makes me wonder. But why are they self-medicating? What's causing all of this to take place?
Kids are, I mean, you know, there's a million reasons. One of it is just, you know, the pain and angst of growing up. They need to numb it, and they find lots and lots of ways to be able to do that. Used to be just old cigarettes and alcohol. Now it's expanded onto all the other options that are now available in the 21st century. Right. Why do the kids want to numb? What's going on in their lives that they feel that they need to be to do this to themselves? And it's extremely important that we really look at how these kids are getting, are being raised, and is there enough love and support within the families? You know, Michelle, as we bring this to a close, I want to thank you, and I know all the listeners, for sharing, and thank Amanda, because, you know, her story and her own words of wisdom can really touch someone else's life. So thank you so much, Michelle.
Well, thanks, Pam. And yes, a big thanks to Amanda. And I will say this. Amanda said that she goes and gets, she just got her 7-month chip. And she said, I didn't do it for me. I do it to give those to hope to others who are just starting out on this road. And I thought that was really a great way to, you know, for her to give back. And you're listening to her radio on Radio MD. Stay well.